Hey, parents. Welcome back to Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We're your host, Mark Struthers, a certified financial planner, a chartered financial analyst, and founder of Sona Wealth Management, helps you balance preparing for college and retirement. Let's continue our college funding journey.
Welcome, parents. Welcome to another episode of Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. This is Mark Struthers, your host, Minnesota Nice, coming at you from the beautiful state of Minnesota. It's a beautiful spring day here. This is our beginning of May episode. We're going to start off with a little quote, and we're going to be talking about inflation and I-bonds. And the quote is from the Scarlet Pimpernel. They seek it here, they seek it there. Those Feddies seek it everywhere. Is it in heaven or is it in hell, that deemed elusive inflation? We have been looking for inflation for a long time. We haven't had it for 10, 20 years. It's why the savings yield on your savings account is so low. Recently, and the article is attached, I have worked with Kennedy from Money Magazine, Kenny Silcox, and we did a question and answer on I-bonds, and she did a wonderful job of laying everything out. I-bonds have been in the news lately. They took the place of some of those meme stocks, the GameStop, the Dogecoin, and probably with good reason. And while I'm glad people are taking a renewed interest, I hope they educate themselves on the pros and cons. I have liked I-bonds for some time, not maybe all by themselves, but as part of a portfolio, either part of a bucket strategy for an emergency fund or education funding, something to supplement other investments or other savings accounts you might have. So we're going to go through why the fuss over I-bonds, why they are in the news lately. But to start off with, we are going to talk a little bit about U.S. savings bonds in general. And as Kennedy points out, these aren't necessarily your old-fashioned the ones your grandparents gave you that you would go down to the bank and cash in. You can still do that to a certain degree. But they really, because rates have been so low, I think kids have become more advanced, I think maybe they lost some of their charms. So the double E savings type bonds are what you think of when they're fairly low yielding. Right now, the returns on them are not good. Kenny lays out a good comparison of the two. One thing people miss about normal savings bonds, not I-bonds, is that no matter what the rate of return is, after 20 years, assuming you hold it, they double your money, which is pretty cool. That's depending on how you calculate it, it's roughly a 3.5% return, which given the inflation and the rates of a risk-free return, a savings account over the last 20 years, that is awesome. And you could use the rule of 72 if you want to figure out how long it takes for you to double your money. You divide 72 divided by the rate of return. And that's a good trick to teach your kids. Another advantage of both types of savings bonds, you can defer those taxes. So you can pay the tax every year, although the rates have been so low it hasn't been an issue, or you can defer them, which is a pretty cool thing, especially if you are maybe having one for retirement. Obviously if a child has them, you could think about if their tax rate is low enough, that might work out. One big FYI, and often a mistake, is if the bond is in the child's name, if the child is the owner, then that's going to show up on FAFSA for need-based aid, and it's penalized pretty harshly at 20%. So it might be worth it, or if you're not eligible for need-based aid, there still could be other value to doing it, but keep that in mind. So don't be shocked if grandparents gift them a $5,000 savings bond and their need-based aid is reduced by $1,000 each year over 4 years. That's kind of a harsh penalty. Just keep it in mind. Sometimes grandparents or even parents can be well-meaning, but they haven't looked into all the rules. And that's why we're here. You don't know what you don't know. That's why Minnesota Nice Investor is here. And that's why I chose to work with families on the private client side of the business, trying to catch stuff like this. I-bonds are different. So I-bonds are, as you might guess, the I stands for inflation, are tied to inflation, CPI. Common measure of inflation. I-bonds are complex. They have two portions of return. One is a fixed portion, which is set for the life of the bond, which is going to be lower than that of the double E bonds. And it makes sense because you're getting something extra. You're getting the juice of that I-bond. So that's the trade-off. The reason I-bonds have been a tough sell for almost everyone, I've been speaking to crickets when I mentioned these are an option. And again, they should be part of a overall funding strategy to supplement other things, is because for the last several issuance, that fixed rate has been zero. And inflation has been low too, so it's been a double whammy. Where they're nice though is that inflation adjustment isn't set for life. It changes every 6 months. So a lot of it's been in the news recently. The reason Kennedy and Money Magazine did the article is because that 3.54% return for the next 6 months, that's powerful. That's a lot. Rates are so low. What can we do? Keep in mind that it could change in 6 months. It could go up. So as we fear inflation, that ever elusive, daring inflation, like the Scarlet Pumpernickel, if you're a fan of Bugs Bunny from when we were kids in the late 70s to 80s. So that inflation component, even if it's paying zero, given you can cash these out after a year, and then just with an interest penalty, and if the interest penalty is zero, that's pretty low. But having that option, you know, having kind of a set and forget it, realizing that if I have my savings account, that if rates go up, I can get that. But if we do get some sort of runaway inflation, I have something that's going to automatically do it. Or you can buy them now, realizing your fixed rate is still zero, but you do have that inflation component, but it could change. Much like with the other type of savings bonds, you can defer those taxes. And with both these, if you use them for qualified education expenses, it comes out tax-free. You have to have, there are income limits, but that's why it's a great option to supplement a Roth IRA or a 529 plan. And because it adjusts with inflation. Now, it is very unlikely. I'm under no illusion that these would keep pace with college inflation. It's possible, but very unlikely. You know, I guess if it were to happen now, when we're looking at higher inflation due to a lot of government stimulus and Fed lowering rates and all these other things, that, and with online learning from COVID, maybe college inflation will be down below 4% and we'll get inflation above 4 or 5. So that's an unlikely scenario to last very long. So I-bonds don't double every 20 years because you get that inflation component. But for a multi-account strategy, you could see where this would be pretty powerful. You have Roth IRAs, you have 529 plans for college funding where you can invest in risky assets and get a return well above college inflation. And if you want another bucket because you don't know how much college is going to be, you want something that's low risk, that you know, something where you have a possibility of getting more than a savings account, but you have very low risk where you know that's backed by the U.S. government, and you know you can defer taxes. And even set aside the education funding, qualified education expenses coming out tax-free, just in general, the savings bonds are free of state and local taxes. So if you're in a high-tax state like New York, where you have local taxes and state taxes, or California, this is a good option. As a standalone, as your primary retirement or college funding vehicle or emergency fund, no, absolutely not. No, not a great option. But these are a great option to supplement things. Things like an emergency fund where you have low yields, but you want to keep money that's low risk. And you know you might not need it for the first year, but you might need it after that. So that is where these could be a powerful tool. And I think Kennedy's article in Money Magazine does a really great job of laying this out. And I'll put the link to her article in here. And if you're a Sona client, feel free to reach out with any questions. But as parents, we need to explore all opportunities to make the most of what we have so we can live for today while still planning for college and tomorrow. We need to make sure we explore all possibilities, knowing the pros and cons. So as we search for that inflation, I thank you, that ever elusive inflation. I thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your college funding journey with me. Until next time.